This is the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Kendall of the notaballerina.com travel blog. Every episode, I'll share travel tales from several fellow travel lovers, and together we hope to entertain and inspire you, remind you of some of your own great travel experiences, and encourage you to hit the road again soon. Welcome to episode 60 of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Today we are talking fun and philosophical travel. You might remember that when I get to one of these round numbered episodes like today's episode 60, then I like to have a bit of fun and put together a few chats I've had with guests that might not exactly fit together in a normal kind of themed episode, but that I just think are too good to not share with you. And so that's what I'm going to do today. Everything's either fun or philosophical, or both. And I just want to start off with a big shout out to one of my listeners and a member of the Thoughtful Travelers Facebook group. Now, she has a German background but lives in Australia now, and I don't know if she pronounces her name an Australian or a German way. I'm sure that she can now tell me once she hears me say this. So I don't know if she's Carty or if she's Katie, but however she describes herself, thank you so much for this fabulous review. And I think what she says really summarizes the fun and the philosophical, which is what we're talking today. So I'll just share a bit of it. It was a long review, but she said, "There have been so many times where I've laughed out loud because of some hilarious travel moment her guests or Amanda herself shared. I love how Amanda manages to bring such a diverse group of people together with such interesting backstories, opinions, and experiences. If you're not into a consumerist approach to travel, but want to connect with fellow travellers who think about culture, question their own assumptions, and reflect on their experiences, then this is your podcast." Now, I really love that review because it's sort of, I go along and I make an episode of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast every week, and I don't always stop to remember exactly what I'm doing or why I'm doing it, but that's exactly why I do it. So I'm really glad that that has come across. So thanks for that fabulous review. And if you haven't left a review for the Thoughtful Travel Podcast, consider this my perhaps quarterly shout out for you to head into iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts and leave a rating and a review, because it really helps for new readers to find us. So thank you in advance. And thanks to all the lovely reviews I've already got. Now, we are going to start off with a philosophical moment. So I chatted with Becky Livingston on the weekend. She's also a listener who got in touch and has lots of really interesting stories to tell. And we hit it off immediately while we were chatting on Skype. And I think about an hour and a half into our conversation, it got really philosophical. And we had, Becky had some really interesting things to say.
I think I read once, well, I did read once something about way back in the time of Aristotle and all the Greeks, travel was seen as one of the four tenets of a well-educated man.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't know what the other – I think actually astronomy was one. And I think probably – I can't remember what the other ones were, but there must have been something to do with language.
Mm.
And I'm sure there was something to do with math, mathematics. But I love that travel was there, way that it was there. And I don't know what that source is, but I
have
did
to
come
look for that. That's amazing.
Yeah, because, well, isn't that great?
And yes, then, and it's so true.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, people who, you know, it's interesting actually because I've just finished reading this book. It's called The Art of Travel,
and it's
by this magnificent writer, Alain de Botton.
Yes, it's a fabulous, fabulous book.
and, you know, when I was in London, I went to the School of Life because he started the School of Life in London, and now he's got quite a few of them all over the world. And I just think he's magnificent, and he's such a beautiful writer. Mm. And, you know, one of the things he just said in this book, which is so interesting, was that one of the particular people would argue that you don't have to leave home to have an experience, to really see the world, which is, of course, is arguable. Mm. But the point they were trying to make was that we overlook so much stuff that's right in front of us all the time, and we don't really stop and focus on something for very long. We're just always flipping around, and of course anything that becomes familiar we tend to not see it, right?
Mm.
And anyway, it was the final chapter, actually. And I thought, how interesting that that's just a whole other perspective. And that is actually an argument where I know there's some people go, oh, yeah, you don't need to, you know, go off and doing the traveling. And, you know, there's all these things you can see at home. And I go, yeah, I think there's probably a very good point to that. But there's so much that you get from going out into the world about what you learn about other people, your tolerance for other people, the cultures of other countries. It defies, I don't know what the expression is, but it's just incredible what you do. And I don't think you can get that from being really just closer to home.
I agree. Maybe the lessons are there, but it's almost impossible to see it unless you're a crazy philosophical kind of person, because when you travel, it's put into, you know, like a starker contrast, perhaps.
Right. And I think that you're also, when you leave, I think you're also in yourself, you're more sensitive, you're more open to, I think you become a different person when you go out traveling. You know, you don't, it's not like you just go into work. So you already are becoming so much more receptive to everything around you. And so I think that changes things as well. But, I don't know. I just think when the world out there is so huge, you can't help but sort of self-reflect and wonder where you fit into it all. And I think the other great thing about travel is that you realize just how small a cog in the whole wheel you are. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes if you've caught up with your own problems or something, it's easy to sort of think that it's all about you and what's going on. And then you see the world and how other people are living, and you just, it really puts a whole different spin on you and your place in the world. And I think that's always a good thing, because I think it's humbling.
Yes.
And I think it does make us grateful. I think it's like a mirror in a way. That's reflected back on us.
Yeah, and, that's so true. Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. I love that kind of, the philosophical side of why travel's important for us. Something that just fascinates me endlessly, because, you know, I came to it after traveling a lot and just finding that it had changed my life in so many ways. And then, like, to read books like The Art of Travel and just to reflect on that. Oh, it's just, you know, I just think it's such a valuable, valuable part of life. And so that's it's my mission always, to encourage more people to travel more, because I just think, I think, it would lead to world peace and stuff, basically. So, you know.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's the kind of, I get that. You know, I think there's a lot of truth in that. Mm-mm. I think it's because we don't understand other people that there's an ignorance and there's a lack of understanding about what motivates other people. Mm. And if we just sit at home with our curtains closed, how are we ever going to understand anything? I mean, we're all the same. We're all the same. We're all connected. We're all related. Yes. We just happen to have been born in a different country, and we've got different colored skin or different, but, you know, it's just that us and them thing is really, really, really damaging.
Yes.
And,
yes.
I think that, there's that. So from that, it's sort of an ethical thing too, right? Where the well-educated person is somebody who travels, I think, for so many reasons.
I think so, for lots of reasons. I agree. Becky and I could have chatted for several hours longer, and you'll hear some more from our conversation over the next few months of episodes. Now, my next guest today is Yasmin Newman, and with Yasmin, we're taking it to the fun side of fun and philosophical. Yasmin's also on the Thoughtful Travel podcast for the first time. I chatted with her recently because she has a new book coming out. She's a foodie writer, and her new book is amazing. It's called The Desserts of New York and How to Eat Them All. And it's all about the time recently when she and her family took off to New York for 3 months, and they ate desserts basically all day, every day. Which is amazing, right? In fact, my chat with Yasmin was not only about eating, but quite a lot of it was. And this particular section is two stories she had to tell me, which are, I think, quite amusing about her travel tales involving food.
Well, as you kind of suspected earlier on in the conversation, my travel tales do involve food.
I'm not surprised.
Yes, both of them relate to probably eating too much of it. The first was when I was living in France for the first time. I was doing an exchange with a family who lived just outside of Paris, and it was for about 4 months between year 11 and year 12. It was year 10 and year 11. And I have one brother in Australia, but over there I had three host sisters. So it was a very different experience for me. And they were these gorgeous petite little French women, as lots of French women amazingly tend to be. But they also, like me, had these wonderful sweet appetites. And in France and in high school cafeterias, there's the pain au chocolat and the croissant, the almond croissant every day. And, you know, I just saw everyone eating them with such gusto that, of course, I you know, as a food lover, I got involved. And I knew as I was going along that I was, you know, getting a little bit on the plumpy side. But again, it was all about the immersion. It's about the immersion. And one day we took a little day trip to Paris, and it was towards the end of my stay there. And we were doing some clothes shopping, and I bent over and my my pants ripped from the very front to the very back.
Oh, dear.
And that is when I realized that I did not have the same capacity to stay slim and eat mountains of chocolate as did my French sisters.
Oh, that's terribly unfair, though.
Yeah, it makes for a good kind of travel story that... And the beginnings of real dedication to eating desserts as much of when I'm in a new place.
Yes, like you say, you've really put your body on the line for the sake of a good story. Oh, that's excellent. What did you do when your pants split?
Luckily, well, I don't know if it's luckily. It was winter, so it was freezing, and this was not great to have a gaping hole in your pants when it's really cold. But I was wearing a big jacket, so I was able to kind of bundle myself up in that. But just thinking about it, I don't know why I didn't buy a new pair of pants on the spot. But and my sisters just kind of kept me protected as well.
But did they have a bit of a laugh?
They did. They had a hearty laugh, yes. And it was a loud rip. It was not just a tear. It was a loud, yeah.
Oh, dear, like in a bad TV show.
Yeah.
But it was real life. Oh, no, that's very disappointing. Did it curb your appetite for lovely French desserts or not?
No, not at all. I mean, it was at the end of the stay, and I think I had a week or two to go, so I thought, look, just keep enjoying and deal with this.
You can always get bigger pans.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool. Oh, dear. Oh, that's excellent. Fabulous. Did you have another story or did I?
I guess it was another food one. And
okay,
again, it was France, but it was years later, and this is when I was doing a smaller version of what I did in New York, of just tracking down all of Paris's, talked about desserts. Mm. And my favorite patisserie in Paris is one called Pierre Hermé, very famous. And I went there with the intention just to try the macaron. He has a famous Isafan one. And but everything looked so delicious. I got about four of them. I was by myself, and I thought, I'll just have a bite of each of them. So I took out my bounty, and I sat outside the church in Saint-Sulpice, and these were such incredible desserts, I just couldn't stop. And I found that I'd got to the end of them, four of them, and I was like, oh, my goodness me. And then... this old gentleman turns around, and unbeknownst to me, he'd been watching and listening to my sighs and enjoyment the whole time, and he said, "Bravo, mademoiselle, bravo!" I just couldn't help but laugh that someone had witnessed all of that. But he was such a charming old man, and I would have been embarrassed, but he obviously thought it was so delightful to see someone just lost in raptures over some French desserts that it was a nice encounter.
He had enjoyed your performance, your food eating performance. Oh my goodness. Oh, that sounds divine. We sound like kindred spirits, because that's exactly what I would do. I would have this idea that I'll just have a little bit, but
you always trick yourself. You just have the bite. It's okay, it's just a bite.
I totally admire Yasmin's commitment to the cause of eating all the food while she travels, and I hope I can emulate her. I've had a look through her book of the New York desserts, and I got to tell you, it made me really, really hungry and have huge sugar cravings. So everyone, go buy it. Now, my final guest today is Serena Star Leonard, and I was expecting her to tell me about a physical object when I asked her what does she collect on her travels. But we got philosophical because Serena told me that she collects stories instead.
We collect stories. Mm. So we set up this project called 5.5, and the reason we set it up was because we saw this amazing short video about this guy called Narayanan Krishnan, and you can check him out on YouTube. Basically, he was a chef in a hotel in India, and he saw people just starving on the streets. And so he quit his job and started cooking food and feeding people twice a day, like basically the destitute, the mentally ill. And he's a Brahmin, and they were untouchables. And, you know, he's not supposed to touch these people. He's not supposed to talk to them. And he would feed them. And then he realized that they, you know, for their dignity, that a lot of them just wanted a haircut to look less homeless. Mm. So he started cutting their hair. But he had this quote where he said, you know, "I'm not supposed to touch these people, but we all have 5.5 liters of blood. We're all the same."
Yeah.
So we called our project 5.5. Great. And we thought, well, if everyone has 5.5 liters of blood, we all have the ability to make a difference.
Yeah.
And so we set out to film short stories of people who make a difference to the environment or to animals or to their community. And so we collect these stories. And what started happening is, firstly, we went to Latin America and we couldn't speak Spanish.
Oops, so, tricky.
Yeah, so we're filming documentaries. And not just Spanish, but, you know, we film people who speak Quechua, and we film people who speak Mayan, and, you know, a whole range of other languages, because Spanish is only the most recent and dominant language. I mean, some countries, they have like 80 indigenous languages.
Gosh, so really? Wow.
We had one time we filmed a project in Mexico, and the person who brought us was French, and his mother happened to be there, so she came to witness the project. So she only spoke French. He was translating from us in English to French to the people who were speaking Spanish, and then into Mayan where the community was.
Impressive.
So like five languages, and we're like filming this, and so basically we started collecting these stories, and the first one took us 3 weeks to film our very first project. We had no idea what we were doing, and then we got it finer and finer. Some projects, like, we really only had one day because of the nature of the projects. Like, we filmed we filmed these ex-sex workers in northern Nicaragua.
Oh, wow.
And their project, because what happens in northern Nicaragua, like, it's one of the poorest places on earth, especially women don't get a chance to be educated, but also in the poorer areas, the boys as well. Mm. As they grow, their only opportunity for work is to work with a machete in the fields, and they earn $2 a day. Or prostitution.
Wow.
And for a lot of them, because of all the other issues they face, they end up bringing up children by themselves. So it's kind of the only thing that realistically will feed their kids.
Yeah.
And
gosh,
the conditions are horrendous. Mm. there's no they're not protected. There's no understanding of basic health, sexual health. There's no understanding of, their basic human rights. And so this group of ex-prostitutes, they got together and said, right, we're going to educate all of the prostitutes in the area on their human rights and on sexual health to try and protect them.
Yeah, great.
And that they did. So we went to this place in the middle of nowhere. and by this stage, I think this was about our fifth project that we'd filmed. So by then we had some experience. Mm-hmm. And we went and we filmed in this dark and dingy brothel. Like, they brought us into where they work.
Wow.
Traveled in the back of a truck with these women, like these empowered, amazing women that we interviewed. And they were just so committed. Like, there was 400 women in their area already that they had contacted and that they were providing with, they didn't understand about condoms or, their right not to be beaten. Like, so
gosh,
it's amazing, like absolutely amazing. And at the end of it, we just, because it took us about 2 days to travel there, and then we stayed, so we just had 1 day to film them. Right. And at the end of that day, we went back, like, it was a long, exhausting day, and we just went back and went, wow, that was probably one of the most memorable days we'll ever have.
Yes, it must have been so full on.
But amazing, like the raw commitment of these women who said, you know, we have nothing and yet we're going to make a difference to other women who have even less.
Yeah.
Was believable. And they were so, like, and this comes back to what we're collecting, is the story they shared so openly with us.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
And it was amazing. And what started happening after this was we'd film a projects officially, like we'd go to and we'd pre-organize it and then they would share their stories with us. But along the way, what started happening is people started sharing their stories with us when it wasn't for our project. We just found ourselves being these open vessels where people felt safe to share their stories with us. And it has become like this incredible privilege because like we met a woman who was a slave for 10 years and she told us what that was like just in a taxi. We didn't ask her, she just shared it. And so whatever's shifted in us has meant that, yeah, people feel safe to tell us their stories. And so that's what we've been collecting.
I think all of the best travellers are collectors of stories, and I hope that you also have been collecting lots of amazing stories on your travels as some of your souvenir collecting. So that's it for today's fun and philosophical episode 60 of the Thoughtful Travel podcast. Let me tell you how to find out more about these wonderful guests we've had today. So first up, we had Becky Livingston, and she is a website author and also an author of a memoir, which is currently with an agent. And it's a story about how by traveling and leaving her daughter's ashes around the world, she was able to find some peace and coming to terms with the death of her daughter at 23. So she has a really vibrant Facebook community called Joyful Mourning, which if you search on Facebook for Joyful Mourning, you'll find it. I'll leave a link in the show notes as well. And her website is at belivingrock.com. After that, I spoke, of course, with Yasmin Newman. You can find Yasmin at yasminnewman.com. And in the show notes, I will leave links to her new book, The Desserts of New York and How to Eat Them All, as well as her first book, which was 7,000 Islands, A Food Portrait of the Philippines, which looks amazing too. So Yasmin's mother is from the Philippines. She has an excellent insight into into Filipino food, but also spent plenty of time traveling and eating there just to really make that an excellent book. You know, you've got to do your research, especially if it involves eating delicious food. Finally, I chatted with Serena Star-Leonard, and I'll leave some links in the show notes to her Retire in 12 Months project. And also, she mentions the 5.5 project, and there's a website, 5.5.org, with 5.5 all written out in words. And if you go to this /videos, you'll find some of the mini documentaries that Serena mentions as the story collecting that they did. They're amazing. So do have a look. If you've got any feedback, come along to our Facebook group at Thoughtful Travellers, or catch up with me on Twitter at Amanda Kendall and use the hashtag Thoughtful Travel Pod. All of this info and anything else you need is in the show notes. And for this episode, the show notes will be at notaballerina.com/60. Thanks so much for listening. This has been another episode of the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. Show notes and other information are at notaballerina.com/podcast. Join me again soon for another chat about why we travel. Bye for now.